The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but Ecclesiastes 3 teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're thinking, amen. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because Whataburger wouldn't take me. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right here. Here it is, right there. Here it is, right here. Which area in our lives, which area in our lives do we need to have a more stick with it attitude in? Ooh. Which area in our lives do we need to have a more stick-with-it attitude in? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, let me tell you what that's like. That's like that same feeling you get when you're confident you have done your best.
Aww.
Aww. That's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, my friend. How are things going? Did you have a nice evening last night?
Yep, going good.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. We've got a lot going on, so we're excited. Well, things we're going to be sharing. I do want you to know that if you reach out to us by phone, and you can also reach out to us by text. I'm going to show that in just a minute, or share that in just a minute. But I want to make sure you understand, it can be for a prayer request. It can be for a prayer request. If you need prayer, let's bring it to the Lord. Let's take our faith, combine it together, and offer it up before the Lord. Just that straightforward. If you have a praise report, how awesome is that? And we love praise reports, but we love praise reports because we get to rejoice. And in those rejoicings, we get to first acknowledge God and he gets the glory. Second, the person who shares it gets reinforced in the sharing. And then third, other people listen to it and they get blessed. Just happened yesterday. Happens all the time. And so if you've got a prayer request, a praise report, if you've got a question and we can answer it, we'll do our best. If we can't, then we'll just have to wait and get back to you. If you've got something going on, you've got some insight from the Lord or something you really appreciate, just things that are moving in your life, we want you to share that because we are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are here for one another. The whole thing that we're doing Hebrews 10:25, encouraging one another as we see the return of Christ getting closer and closer. We're just trying to encourage each other in the Lord. So you can call us at 972-445-0770. You can text us live during the show. So in San Diego right now, it's 11:36, in Denver, 12:36, in Dallas, 1:36, in Detroit, 2:36. You can text us live right now. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. NPR voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. That's the NPR voice. Additionally, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease, from john330.org, because we're a nonprofit entity. That's why. A couple things I want to tell you before we jump into the Word of God. I need your guys' insight and wisdom, as in the month of April, we will be closing out two books, one on a Thursday, one on a Friday. We're going to be closing out two books. And so a Thursday and a Friday. So I'm thinking one of the new teaches needs to be Revelation, and then the other one needs to be, I don't know. What do you think? See why I did that? Because I don't know. What do you think? See, because I'm interested to see what people think. I love teaching all of it. It doesn't matter. I've taught, most of it. I don't think I really spend a lot of time teaching Leviticus, which I'm reading right now, and I know why I'm not teaching it. Anyway, the bottom line is, if you have something that you think, hey, this would be a great book, I'd really like to see it, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're interested in that as well. In the meantime, we do have somebody that has called in, and we'll give them a chance to reach out and talk to us, and then we'll go from there and see where the Lord leads us. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, good afternoon, Sergio.
Hello, Brother Sergio. How are you, my friend?
Cold.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that, especially from yesterday and the day before. What happened, right?
That was short and sweet. Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing, the difference.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend when we first moved here, and this friend of ours, she said, her daughter said, what about the weather in Texas? And the daughter said, it's bipolar. it's just like, I thought that was a great line. Like, wow, seems to be kind of accurate around here. Yeah, very well. How are you? How are things going besides being cold?
Good. So far, so good. I actually just wanted to get your take on where I'm at right now. So I'm currently in Exodus. I think you know that. And so I had a question, and forgive me for not being prepared, because I'm just going off memory from what I read yesterday.
Not a problem.
So it's the moment, I think it's mid Exodus, somewhere in that range where it's Moses and Aaron, and God tells Moses to tell Aaron to fight
The Amalekites.
The Amalekites. And so my question to you is, there's a verse there that says, the Lord will fight with the Amalekites for generations in the future, or for generations to come.
Right. Correct.
Something to that effect?
Yes.
So I guess I got a two-pronged question. So one, what were they, or are they currently now, what are they? And what does that mean that the Lord will fight against them for generations to come? That, to me, that basically means that they're always going to be enemies. So I'll let you answer off the air, and thank you for all you do, and stay warm.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay, another brilliant question by our brother Sergio, okay, because the Lord has made him to ask brilliant questions, but he's asking about the Amalekites. And it's very interesting, because you're going to have to hear a couple of theories, because I can't give you all the theories. I'm just going to give you what I got. First and foremost, the Amalekites were people that were against Israel. So I'm going to say this in the nicest way, and people are going to freak out, and it doesn't matter, because it's irrelevant what people think compared to what God thinks. And that is, when you stand against the people of Israel, you are in trouble with God, period. And people are like, well, no, politically this, blah, blah, this and this and this. This. I don't care. It doesn't even matter. It's very clear in Numbers, and it's very clear in Exodus, and it's very clear in Deuteronomy that we are supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that those who oppose Israel will be cursed by God, and those who bless Israel will be blessed by God. That's what it says. You're not going to change it. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Well, political, geographical, blah, blah. Nobody cares. Here's what the truth is. The truth is, if you stand against Israel, who at that point is specifically identified as the people of God, God is going to respond. So let's understand that first. You have to understand that when you oppose that which God loves, you are in trouble on your own. And so this is another reason why Paul, when he was Saul and he's persecuting the church, and Jesus goes, Saul, you're in trouble, knocks him off his donkey, blinds him. He's on the ground. He's blind. And Jesus goes, you're persecuting me and I ain't liking it. And the truth of the matter is that Saul was persecuting the church, but how God sees it is you're persecuting him. And that's the Amalekites were against Israel. So the main theory is that the Amalekites no longer exist. If you're trying to figure out, well, which group are them and so on and so forth, there's some argument there back and forth. Nah, that doesn't matter. You want to know why it doesn't matter? Even if they still exist, they're going to cease to exist. And everybody that opposes Israel is going to cease to exist at some point. I know. It's like, yo, that's not fair. Here's how it goes. God is the creator of the universe. He is the one that gave life to all mankind. He chooses this nation to represent him, coming from the loins of Abraham, coming from the loins of Isaac, coming from the loins of Jacob. He chooses these people based on a covenant he made with Abraham, and he chooses these people. And yes, they got a lot of rebellion in them. Yes, they got a lot of yucky in them. And with them is going to be included the church, because you're going to find out that everybody who's of faith is connected to the tribe of Israel through their faith, because it says so in regards to Abraham in Galatians and Ephesians and so on, and then Hebrews and then in Romans. It's important for us to understand that still, if you oppose or hate that which God hates, you're on your own. It's you against God. Good luck. And so this is one of the reasons why, and I'm glad Sergio asked it, because it's one of the reasons why you hear me passionately tell you not to be mad at your brothers and sisters who are in different denominations, who look at things differently than you, because God loves them. And if you despise them, you're despising that which God loves. In fact, the scripture says in John, by this we know we've passed from life unto death because we love the brethren. And so our attitude, our mindset should be, hey, loving God, whatever God loves, that's who we love. Israel was beloved, loved by God. God loves Israel. He loved, loves, and always will love Israel. You attack Israel, you attack the people of God, you attack God's favored, you attack, in fact, what he says in the scripture, the apple of his eye, that's in Zechariah, you're on your own. And so the Amalekites, and I believe it's accurate that they were wiped. There's others that have taken their place, so to speak, and we can see that all over the world, even currently. But this is one of the big reasons why I don't, you know, have any problem when people are freaking out on the political scene. I've got even people in my own family line who are against Israel. Not my direct family, but, you know, connected. It's like, it's going to be a bad day for them when the trumpet blows. So you don't despise what God loves. And consequently, you don't love what God despises. Both of those are at play. The Amalekites stood against Israel, tried to annihilate Israel, and God's response is, yeah, you're going to try and annihilate my people? I'm going to annihilate you. That's the response from God. As a Christian, you think, well, we're supposed to have mercy. Right, let God do it. You're not supposed to do the annihilating. Let God take care of it. He's the just. He's the judge. He's the one that'll make it right. Cool. All I know is being one of his kids puts a lot of protection around me. The angels of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. That's all I got to know. And if you genuinely fear and honor the Lord, you will love what and who the Lord loves. And you will not love who the Lord does not love. And yes, there are people that he doesn't. People are like, no, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. Jesus said of the Pharisees in John chapter 8, you're of your father, the devil. That doesn't sound like a lot of love. See what people try to do? They try to blanket their definition of love. In fact, God's definition of love, of course, involves rebuking and discipline. Not in the world. Oh, you got to love everybody. Everything's great. Everything's fantastic. Lie. It's a lie. It's a perversion of the word love. Just like perversion of the word gay. Same thing. It's nothing different. So the idea behind this is for you to understand. If you oppose that which God considers the apple of his eye, you are fighting against God. That is, again, reflected in the church when Jesus took issue with Saul. And it will again be addressed towards the end times as God takes issue with everybody who stands against the church. One of the things that's amazing, the church is going through great persecution. Not one of those persecutions will God forget. And those people will have to deal with it being in opposition to God because God loves the church. And people that are against the church are against God. Sorry, that's what he says. You don't like it, tell him not to write a book. In fact, if you don't like it, when you die, you can just confront him and let me know how that goes. I don't think you'll be standing very long, but, you might get a word in. Oh, probably not. Yeah, I probably won't get a word in. So anyway, that's a great question. And if you are against the people of God, God's going to take it out on you. Is it going to happen immediately? Not always. Sometimes it's over time that God does that. But he will ultimately bring it to pass. And that is the truth. Love who God loves. That is the call. And that is where it stands. And people are like, well, I don't like it. Tough. Argue with God. Okay? All right. Take a deep breath. Whoa. How could you? It's Wednesday. You're supposed to be firing off on Psalms. We're supposed to be really happy. Go where the Lord leads us. That's what we do. Here it is. Your first trivia question. Back to our multiple choice. Let's do this one. How many mediators are there between God and man? How many mediators are there between God and man? Are there two, one, or three mediators? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 is your reference point. So the question is, how many mediators are there between God and man? Are there two, one, or three mediators? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 is your answer. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I'm going to send you up to the website, as I often do at this particular time. Lots of cool stuff on the website. If you have a prayer request, you go up there and fill it out. If you got a praise report, go up there and fill it out. You can do that so that I don't feel like sharing, Dave. Can you share it for me? Sure. Just go to the website, fill out the form. Doesn't cost anything. Nobody tracks you. There's nothing weird going on whatsoever. Additionally, there's information about the books. We're doing re-releases on the books. That's kind of cool. I'm excited about that, I got to tell you, because they're really lights out really good. But on top of that, there's all this material that has to do with audios, videos. There's little videos that are 2 or 3 minutes. There's videos of the show, all of it. Just up there to encourage you, plus a place to give, because that's how we live in this ministry. It's based on everybody who's listening, participating, and giving. You're not going to get a whistle. You're not going to get a Lamborghini. You're not going to get a jelly donut if you give to us. But you will get a receipt at the end of the year. Our scripture for today, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond joy's got nuts, mounds don't.
How brilliant is that? How brilliant. Jennifer is brilliant. Was that great? What'd you think of that?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That is a great one. That's people know that's a new sound for those that don't know. That was really good. sometimes.
They don't do the commercials anymore for Almond Joy.
No, they don't do really good commercials anymore, period.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I've seen Almond Joy commercials, but they don't have it doesn't play that song anymore.
Let's go. It's over. It's just not interesting. But it used to be interesting. I just want to point that out. Brilliant there. Our trivia question, by the way, going back to it, how many mediators are there between God and man? Are there two mediators, one mediator, or three mediators? Your specific reference point is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. If you think you know the answer, you can do one of three things. You can do one of four things. The fourth thing is you can do nothing. Okay. Or you can call us. Now, listen to what I'm saying. The call number, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So you can do that as well. Pretty straightforward. Pretty good right there. Okay. Let me jump into the text. Just remember to remind me to give the trivia question, which most of you should know that trivia question. I should just got to say that right now. Here we go. I'm just going to go Psalm 50, verse 1. We're not going to get through the rest of that teaching, but that's all right. It's fun to do anyway. Verse 1, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Let me tell you something about Psalm 50, verse 1. It was written by Asaph. For those who don't know really who Asaph was a skilled musician who played with the cymbals. 1 Chronicles 15, 17 through 9. He was also a songwriter. Brilliant, obviously. And so he's written a few psalms. Very cool. This psalm is saying, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Let me just say this, and nobody's going to miss this if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Number one, we're in Psalm 50. Number two, we're a third of the way through the psalms, because there's 150 psalms. And we're encountered the psalm by Asaph, which is about God being a righteous judge. It is crucial for us to understand that God's judgment is righteous, fair, and just. So we were just talking with Sergio and his question about God doing the judgment on the Amalekites and so on and so forth. God is the only one who can perfectly, righteously, every time judge because he's the only one that has absolute knowledge. Nothing is hidden from him. Even when we're told to make a righteous judgment in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 7 or chapter 11, one of those two, I can't think. It's 11:24. So the idea, though, is that our judgment will always be thin, whereas God's judgment is always perfect, taking into account all things all the time. And so he's the only one that's absolutely fair and just. We will never personally, eternally fall on the wrong side of God's justice. That's what redemption is about. But you need to remember that some things that we go through will be hammered out in the ultimate true Supreme Court, which is God's court. Sometimes it gets hammered out here. Sometimes it gets hammered out elsewhere. For those that are thinking, oh, look, Sodom and Gomorrah, they got wiped out there. Their judgment came. Really, it's interesting because Jesus said they're also going to encounter judgment on the judgment day. So sometimes it's both. Whoa. In the opening verse, he says this. He says, God has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Now, I understand that scientists believe they understand everything about the universe, but we all know that's ridiculous. Yeah, the universe is 90 billion years old, 60 billion years old, 30 billion years old. What happened to all the people who were wrong and all that stuff? Nothing. They just keep changing it. The verse opens up ensuring us that we comprehend this one thing. It's God that controls the earth, its rotation, its spinning, its weather, its everything. God is the one who orchestrates and commands the earth from the sunrise to the sunset. This implies that every sunset and every sunrise is not a product of science, but it occurs by God's permission and God's permission alone. If the Lord decides one day the sun shall not rise or the sun shall not set, then the sun will not rise. And the sun will not set. See, it doesn't matter what they're saying in their labs or in their offices. That doesn't matter. If God goes, that's it, it's it. That's why when you pray, if God says yes, it's done. How's it done? I don't know. He doesn't tell us how he's going to answer. He just tells us he will. Get it? Okay. So I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to give you the trivia answer in a second, but I don't want you to miss this. God is in control. Stop worrying about all the threats and frets. Ooh, that's good. Stop worrying about the frets, the threats, and the people that are just losing their mind. Relax. Take a deep breath. Your king, who's in charge of the universe, is not missing one thing. He knows everything that's going on. Nothing gets past him. Get that? All right. Okay, so back to the tree of question. We want to ask this question. How many mediators are there between God and man? Is it 2, 1, or 3? The answer is 1. 1 Timothy 2:5, that mediator is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was born of man and of God. He's the only one that can fully represent man and fully represent God. Makes it that simple. If you want to keep listening to the show, hang out if you're in Dallas. If you're not in Dallas, go to hemusincrease.org, hit the Listen Live button. Hang out.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowpunchSites.com/dad.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.